The church takes this gospel from Luke. We'll start from the beginning. This reading that we have from the letter to Timothy, the main reason for it is Luke is mentioned. Only Luke is with me. Now, he's a little lonely, but it isn't that they've all abandoned him. He sent them all. Well, Demas, yeah. But then Crescens went to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, Tychicus to Ephesus. He sent them. So he's all alone, except for Luke. Just from an exegetical point of view, what happened here? The language changes a bit. I think I've gone through this with you before. Like Timothy, and Titus all have the language of an academic. It's nice Hellenistic Greek. It's, you know, and why? Well, it is as though Paul in prison is saying to this academic, who we won't know unless it's Luke, until we go to heaven. And he said, look, this is what I want you to say. But obviously at this point, he starts to dictate himself. Because this is all news about himself, and bring the parchments and tell Mark to come back and all that. This is the Mark, remember, that he and Barnabas had a falling out over, remember? Mark went home. So then the next time they're going out, Barnabas wants to take Mark. Well, Barnabas says that was one of his graces, that he brought people. It was Mark who brought Paul in. He went back to Tarsus and got him. And then when Paul didn't want Mark, Barnabas stood up for Mark. And there was this kataklysmos, Luke calls it, between Paul and Barnabas. They got it all worked out. But Barnabas then took Mark, and Paul went off and finally met Luke up in the north. You can tell about where Luke starts to join the party, because all of a sudden in the book of Acts, there's we, called the we passages. All of a sudden, instead of Paul did this and Paul did that, it's we did this and we did that. And right about in there is where Luke joins Paul. So all of that is sort of implied in this reading, trying to recall to us, well, who's Luke, you see? But the injunction to these 72 is only in Luke. And the main reason for it is to accent the need for preaching the gospel. Another 72 are sent out to every town and place he intended to visit. And we have then words that we find in the other synoptics. Harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. One of the reasons why at Vatican II, in the document on the church, there was that strong accent on the laity, is because the church had become clerically top-heavy, and the lay people didn't realize they're supposed to be preaching too. Everybody's supposed to be preaching. These 72 were not all bishops. They were not ordained at all, probably. Go out. And this is like a real full-time job, right? Don't take any money. Don't take a sack. Don't just rely on me. Well, I suppose we can still do this, but in this kind of a culture where hospitality is such a priority, a stranger coming into a town would find someone to care for him. That's the way they go. And they're going in twos. What is the point of all this, I think? There are many things we can look at in Luke. His, as the prayer said about him, huh? You chose Luke the evangelist to reveal by preaching and writing the mystery of your love for the poor. That's one way to preach the gospel, is to allow Christ to care for the poor in and through us. Okay? Not just words. And it's all over his gospel, as you know. In fact, if somebody comes to me and they're, you know, they're kind of beat up, they haven't had a good life, maybe they're alcoholic, maybe they're... I tell them, read the Gospel of Luke. Because he's the gospel of the down and outer. And people get enormously blessed by reading this gospel. You've got the story of the guy in the back of the temple. You know, the big shots in the front, and the other guys at the back. That's only in Luke. It's the woman's gospel, too. If you look, Luke almost always pairs a man and a woman. There's a sick man, and in the next chapter, there's a sick woman that the Lord heals. There's all this going on. But his basic drive is preach. Not only with your words, with your body, with your hands, with your smile, with your care. And as we see this chaos mounting, we've all got to preach. I suppose you follow online this 40 Days for Life material, not only here, but and the successes, huh? The number of people, women, who stop and don't have an abortion. This is the triumph of the Lord. That's preaching. They're out there trying to persuade these women not to kill their children. And what they've done, what they have saved that woman, maybe eternal damnation, certainly incredible pain, guilt, depression. Just talk to people who've had an abortion. And so I think we should pray today to Luke that the Lord, that he intercede for us and that we find out how we are supposed to be preaching the gospel. You know, there's something going on. More and more Christians are starting to love. Did you notice that? More and more Christians are starting to love. Jordy and I walk around with collars on and so forth. All kinds of people are coming up to us. And most of them, I'm not Catholic, but I want, you know, the first thing they say, I'm not Catholic. But there's something stirring. And as I was reading these texts this morning, trying to hear what the Lord wanted to say, all I could feel was this urgency that's in this 72 guys he sent out, 36 pairs, to preach. Huh? And he tells them what to do. And it says, and then gives them very simple instructions. If they're going to feed you, take it. You deserve it. You're bringing good news. So let's today really remember to pray. There are so many confused people out there. So many easily stirred up to join all these demonstrations. Many of which are being stirred up by the government. So they have an excuse to impose greater control. And we should be alert. But our job is not to analyze all of that and get nervous and frightened. Our job is to preach Jesus. And there is a power there that nothing can equal.